be able to introduce to you a man that we know and talked about for many, many years when he ran the Philadelphia Eagles, one of the great gentlemen in sports, and now the dad of the personnel guy from the Eagles, Tom Gamble. Mr. Harry Gamble is with us. Hi, Harry.
Good morning. How's everybody?
Harry, it is great to hear your voice. It's been a long time. How you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you.
All right, Harry, let's start talking a little bit about your son, Tom, and the fact that he has rejoined the Eagles. What does that mean to you as a guy who was the president of the team?
Well, I think it's wonderful. I think it's a good move. I think that Tom will bring something to the table that will help the club, and I think that obviously it's nice to have him closer to home. We get a chance to see him and his family a little more now. We used to make a trip out there periodically, but that's a long trip. So I'm very happy. I think, as I said before, it's a real plus for us.
Now, Harry, when you were the president of the team, Tom was, I mean, he kind of cut his teeth in football with you, right? What was his role when you were the president? He did have some jobs here with the Eagles, right?
Yes. Well, you know, he started out really selling tickets one semester that he had off from college and did a good job. And Norman Brayman said, you know, we ought to have Tom on in our organization when this is all over. He sold quite a few tickets, group sale type tickets. And so that sort of sparked Norman's interest. And then he went back to school, and then when the semester was over, he had the summer then and came in, and Norman asked me, he said, have you talked to Tom about being in the organization? I said, well, no, I really haven't. I wasn't sure what we were going to do and how it was going to go and so forth and so on. So he eventually asked him, he said, would you like to be with the Philadelphia Eagles? And that's how he got into it. And then when he decided that he wanted to be in personnel, I put him out on the road with our four coaches. We have four coaches, four scouts, and he spent 2 weeks with each of them and to learn the ropes, so to speak. Getting into hotels and seeing who they look at and how they go about it and with the coaches and so forth and so on. So that's how it all began.
Wow, that's fascinating because he now is considered in the NFL, Harry, as one of the best personnel people there is. As a guy who was a coach yourself and an executive at football, that has to be a source of pride for you that your son has come so far.
Well, obviously, it is. I'm very proud of him, and I think that he has accomplished a lot. And the big thing is he's very conscientious, he's a hard worker, and he has a great personality. You know, he knows everybody in the league, and everybody knows him, and I think he's well-respected. So that all of this is very, very positive, and hopefully, you know, it will continue here in Philadelphia.
Well, Harry, I'm not sure what the dynamics were when you were running the Eagles, but we're curious about Tom when he gets a player that he loves. Like, let's just say we get ready for this draft. The Eagles have the fourth pick, and he loves a guy. And Howie Roseman, who I guess would be his boss in the pecking order with the Eagles, loves a different guy. How assertive is Tom Gamble to try to get his guy?
Well, he's the guy. You should talk to Tom Gamble about that.
Yeah, I will. I will, believe me.
But I would say that I think that what there has been a kind of a cooperative spirit you know, we're going to get this done. We're going to work together. We're not going to be one guy fighting against another guy and so forth and so on. So, and by the way, Angelo, you know, it's one of those things that you work on a board for a few weeks after you get all of your the qualifications of the college players. And you talk to them. Now you put that board up. When I say a board with names and statistics and stuff like that, they're right up on the where we can look at it every day. And every day you talk a little bit about some of the players. And eventually, as you work your way through the people that you're considering, you have a first one-man guy, and everybody generally agrees. And then if that guy is gone, then they go to another guy. I mean, it's not quite the battle that people recognize. It's a consensus of many people, scouts and the guys that do the work on the road. And I mean, it's I don't see it as a problem.
See, this is what I'm fascinated by, because it was, you're saying everybody was on the same page, even when you were working with Buddy Ryan? Because Buddy seemed like he liked to have, like, a little tussle in the war room, you know?
Well, you know, Buddy Ryan's Buddy Ryan.
Yeah.
You know, everybody has different personalities. We work within their within those personalities. And Buddy did a good job as far as, you know, contributing to the evaluation process. And we got some very good players during his time. So I just don't see it as a problem.
But, Harry, here's what I'm fascinated by, because we remember those era. That era with you and Norman Brayman and Buddy Ryan
right. Is
what really revived football in this city. I mean, you were having blacked out games, and you guys together reinvigorated the sport. When you see where it's gone since then, do you look back at that and say, you know, we had a lot to do with this. We got this ball rolling in the right direction. Do you look at it that way?
Well, I think that we did have something to do with it all, that's for sure. And Buddy, of course, was part of that process. And he was an interesting, he was a good coach, and he was a good evaluator, as I said. And you know, we developed a relationship. We had two different type personalities. We didn't go out together and that kind of stuff, but we worked together.
Right. Now, one of the things we hear all the time here, Harry, when people are talking about Norman Brayman, or bottom line Brayman, as Stan Hockman used to call him, is that he was greedy. He doesn't have a positive image in Philadelphia. But I know there are a lot of people that work with him that still think very highly of him. When you think of Norman Brayman as an owner of the Eagles, how do you think of him?
I think of him as one of the best.
Tell me why.
He was a guy that did not interfere with the football world. When he first selected me as a general manager, what have you, I would call him on the phone when he was in Florida and talk about issues and things of that type. And then one time he came up and to visit and in the office, and we were chatting where we were going, how we were doing, and so forth and so on. And he said something to me, which obviously was very meaningful. He said, "The only time I ever lost money is when I put my nose into something that I didn't know anything about." He said, "I don't know anything about football, and that's why you're in charge of the club." Wow. But you know what? People found it difficult they just felt that Norman was the guy that was causing all the problems, and he wasn't. We had good players, good teams. We had a good product on the field. And I think he just got a bad rap, and whatever the reason, I mean, there's media people that don't get along with coaches and general managers, et cetera, et cetera. So that's all part of it.
Harry, you had some amazing players when you were the president here. Does one stand out as your all-time favorite Eagle in the years you were president?
Well, there were quite a few. I mean, you know, Reggie White was one of the great players in the game, and Herschel Walker. We had Jim McMahon, who came in to help us when Randall was hurt in the very first game of against Green Bay, and we had that was the year of quarterbacks. We must have had three or four or five quarterbacks come in, but he was the standout. He started the season practically because Randall broke his leg, and he went in, and we beat Green Bay that opener, and up at Green Bay, and then, of course, we had, I thought, a very good year.
Is it a regret, Harry, that you had so many exciting teams that revived football but didn't win the Super Bowl? How much does that sting that you never got that big prize?
Well, you know, the ultimate goal in this business anymore is the Super Bowl, and to get a ring, a player. A player wants a ring. He makes zillions of dollars, and rightfully so. But at the same time, that doesn't enter into it as much as winning the Super Bowl. So obviously, I would like to have had been in charge of a club that got into the Super Bowl and had success, won it, and what have you. All of that would have been great. But I don't, I never got overly bitter or sad about the whole thing. It was just one of those things. What do we have to do to get better and to win the Super Bowl?
Harry, what is life like for you now? How do you keep yourself busy?
Well, you know, I have a leftover residue of organizations, mostly charitable, that I worked with when I was with the Eagles. As we know, Norman was in Miami most of the time, and so I represented the club at a lot of these organizations, such as, you know, the Red Cross, and I'm on the board of trustees at Ryder, and I mean, I have a lot of those kind of things. So I keep myself busy, and I have slowed down as far as I like the garden, I like to work in the yard, and so I'm enjoying life, and I think I'll enjoy it even more now with everybody, with Tom back here, and with the Eagles poised for, I think, a good run.
Hey, Harry, if Tom needs some expertise from Dad about a player, you still help him out? Look at a little tape and give him your thoughts on a player?
Well, he has never done that, but when he was a scout, he did that.
Okay.
He would say, take a look at this guy. This was basically when he was with the Colts. You know, we'd sit together and look at tapes. And I remember Edgerrin James was a guy that I think he plucked out of the – I mean, he was a junior when he come back to talk to Bill Polian, and he said, I think we got a special guy down here. And so that was the first guy that I remember taking a look at. And he said, take a look at this. This guy never loses any ground. He's always gaining ground. So, yes, I did do that, and I enjoyed doing that. I wouldn't sit there forever doing it, but at the same time, I contributed a little bit in that direction.
Harry, one last thing, and I can't thank you enough for doing this. It's really, I'm reliving part of our not-so-distant past.
That's right.
And we were, look, I'm going to put it right on the table. WIP back then was really rougher than we are today. We're much more mature now.
Oh, yeah.
But, Harry, we did give you guys a hard time.
Yes.
One time you were asked this, and I remember this. We used to play this all the time. You would say, honest to God, I don't listen to WIP.
Yeah.
Back then.
I remember that.
Back then, Harry, did you listen or did you not?
No, I didn't listen.
And Harry.
Still
Harry,
doesn't.
Harry, smart man. You know, I got to tell you something, Harry. That's very good advice for Tom and other guys, because all we're going to do is get on people's nerves, right?
I mean,
it was very smart of you to do that. But you occasionally would hear something that was said here anyway, didn't you? Secondhand, that kind of thing.
Right.
Well, I got to tell you, Harry, that's good advice for Tom. I thank you very much, Harry. I wish you many, many more years of good health, and thanks for doing this. You had a lot to do.
I appreciate it, Angelo. I appreciate it. I hope we bump into each other again soon.
I do. Harry Gamble. Thank you, Harry. Like